Feipler, Chaim Kanievsky's father, Zatzal, in his Sefer Birkas Peretz, explains the following. He says that the Torah, aside from giving us mitzvahs that we have to do, also gave us certain partios of mitzvahs that are voluntary, and especially when it comes to sacrifices. Many of the sacrifices are not things that you must do, but they are voluntary. You can bring a shlamim, an ola. Only the sacrifices that come for the tzibur, the communal sacrifices, are mandatory many times, and sacrifices brought for sins are mandatory. But otherwise, you can bring a shlamim, right, a sacrifice that's eaten by the Kohen and by the person who brings it, and a small portion is sacrificed on the altar, or an ola, which is a burnt offering, totally burnt on the altar, or a toda, you can bring a thanksgiving offering, right? So there are various offerings you can bring, and they are not mandatory. They're voluntary. So if the Torah wanted you to do it, why didn't it make it mandatory? And if it's not that important, why should it be voluntary? So he says the purpose of these kinds of mitzvahs, and he mentions specifically with the korbanos, is that there's a mitzvah to love God. And coming to love God can be done intellectually, emotionally, but sometimes people don't have the capacity to arouse their feelings. So one of the ways of arousing feelings of love of God is by volunteering to do something for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and trying to give over of yourself to Him. And as the Michta Meliyahu says, giving is a means of creating love. What you give to is what you engender love towards. Okay, that's what he says. I want to enlarge and use this as a springboard for maybe a little bit more to enhance this idea. We find in the Svarim four different things that can bring a person to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. The Rambam says two of them, and the other two we'll see in a second. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah says that one of the ways of coming to love of God and fear of God is by observing nature. And when a person observes nature, from the smallest creature to the largest planets and stars, he tremendously appreciates God's wisdom, the Creator, and he feels like a very small, insignificant creature amongst this vast creation. And that brings him to a tremendous feeling of fear and awe of God, and a tremendous desire to know this God and have a connection to Him because He is so awesome. So it brings a person to fear of God and love of God, contemplating nature properly. The second thing that brings a person to love and fear of God, says the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, is contemplating and learning Torah. And I guess goes along with that, observing the mitzvahs too. Because Torah and mitzvahs are God's will. And here again, you are awestruck with the depth of God's mind and how insignificant your mind is compared to that. And therefore, again, you have this tremendous desire to know this God, to get close to Him, and in, through Torah you do that. And also, you are awe-inspired and awestruck from His how insignificant you are compared to Him. The third way, the Chovas HaLevavos says, the third way of engendering love of God is Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the goodness that God gives into the world in general and to you specifically, and in that way you engender a love for the Ribbono Shel Olam as Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the good that you receive. And the fourth way is what the Birkas Peretz, which the Sfeikler said, that by giving of yourself to God, right, you can engender love. Giving, you have your possessions, you give over a sacrifice, you, what's it called, of giving over from your things for service of God engenders love of God. And like the Michtam Eliyahu says, that one of the ways that love is engendered by giving. Okay. Based on this, I want to say that those are the purposes of the four different kinds of sacrifices. There's a carbon ola, a burnt offering, that represents the fourth idea of engendering love of God, by giving of yourself totally to God. So the ola, vicariously, by identifying with the animal, through the animal you give yourself over totally to God, right? You totally negate yourself, the animal becomes like you, and vicariously, right, through the animal, you're able to give yourself over totally to God. And that is, the Rosham Shofar Hirsch says, you realize the importance of spiritual things. You take the physical world and you negate it. And you realize how important it is to get close to God spiritually, and you feel the goodness of the spirituality and the eternity of the spirituality. That gives you a tremendous love for God, who is the ultimate in spirituality. So that's the Korban Ola. Then there's a Shlamim. A Shlamim is taking the animal and not destroying it, burning it, but you eat some, the Kohen eats some. It's causing unity and completion, perfection. That's what a Shlamim is. Shlamim is perfection, Shlemus. Everything is used in a proper way. I eat some, the Kohen eats some, the altar gets some. It's more understanding and appreciating creation, the physical world, properly, and appreciating it in how much God's wisdom is represented in the physical world. That's the second idea of love, coming through nature. So the Shlamim represents an appreciation of nature. That brings you to love of God. The Karban Toda, which is a thanksgiving offering, obviously is related to the Indian of recognizing good and thanking God for the good that you receive, that also engenders love for God as gratitude, as a result of gratitude. So that's the Karban Toda. And now the sin offerings, the Chatos and the Oshem, which come for unintentional sins usually, where you made a mistake, and you did something against the Torah. So that represents the way of coming, of love of God, of appreciating Torah. So when you forget and don't keep the Torah properly, you want to bring a sacrifice to get back on the Torah path. That represents this idea of appreciating the value of Torah and mitzvos, and through that recognizing God's greatness. So each of these sacrifices represents a different path that leads you to love of God. The path of nature, which is equal to the Shlamim, the path of Torah, which is equal to the sin offerings, the path of gratitude, which is the Karban Toda, the thanksgiving offering, and the path of giving of yourself to God, which is the Ola, the burnt offering. Okay. Now, as a preface to all of this, before God commanded us of the sacrifices, and we're saying now that the sacrifices have an aspect of them of being able to engender a love of God through the sacrifices in the four ways that we mentioned. So therefore, before you can bring a sacrifice, you have to a certain degree, before you can get close to God, you have to negate your ego, which can be a separation between you and God. You have to be willing to break yourself and recognize the fact that you are not an entity to yourself, but you want to be totally subjugated and totally connected to God. So therefore, what's the preface to the book of Vayikra? The preface is Vayikra el Moshe, that God called to Moshe with tremendous love and endearment, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to write it like that. He wanted to write Vayikar without an Aleph, just like by Bilam. God just chanced upon me. Because if you feel that you deserve it, if you feel that you're somebody, then you're somebody, your ego separates between you and God. So you have to feel that everything I have is only because of God, and then you can get close to Him. So your self doesn't separate between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So because Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't deserve this, I'm no different than Bilam. This is just, you know, God happenstance, by coincidence, He happened to call me. So the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, no, you write by Yikra. It's not by coincidence. I am calling you out of love, right, out of a tremendous amount of closeness. That's the word by Yikra. But Moshe Rabbeinu chose to write the Aleph small to represent that his ego, right, is very, very small. And because a person doesn't feel he deserves this, that's why God gets close to him. But if the person feels he deserves it, feels he's a big shot or whatever, then the Ribbono Shel Olam distance himself from him. So it's because of the small Aleph that it's really the Vayikra, that God called him with a tremendous amount of love and endearment. And therefore, through all these four ways of recognizing God, you need that humility. For instance, recognizing God through nature. What is the ultimate trigger that after contemplating nature, you feel close to God because you feel insignificant? You see this vast creation and you feel you're just a small nothing compared to all this vast creation. And then you have a desire to connect yourself into God because that's what will give you importance. You're not important as yourself, you're important because you're a part of this creation and you want to be connected and close to the Creator. But if you don't feel that insignificance, you're not going to come to love of God from creation. So in order to feel love of God from creation, which we said corresponds to the Shlomim, you need this feeling of humility. The second thing, in order to feel God, right, that as a function of gratitude, you can only feel gratitude for something you don't feel you deserve. If you feel you deserve it, there's nothing to have gratitude. The more that you feel you don't deserve it, that's why it says that until Leah came, nobody really thanked God totally. But when Leah had her fourth child, she said, "Zeh hapam odes Hashem, now I'll thank God." And the way they explained is the following. Rashi says that they knew there were four wives and there were going to be 12 children. So each one felt they had a claim to three. So the three, Leah convinced herself that she was coming to her. So she couldn't thank God 100% because Magiali. But the fourth one was totally not coming to her. That you can give total thanks for. Right? When you get your paycheck for what you earned, you can't really be thankful. You can be thankful, but not totally thankful because you feel you earned it. But if you give it a bonus that the boss didn't have to give you, you didn't earn, then you can feel gratitude because that's something that wasn't coming to me. So in order to feel gratitude, you have to feel that nothing's coming to you. So again, you have to have humility. The third thing, Torah. In order to fathom the Torah and to come to love of God through Torah, Torah needs humility because Torah is like water. It always goes to the lower point. It doesn't go up, it goes down. It goes to people who are humble. And that's why it says, Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai. Moshe received the Torah, the same reason why God chose to give the Torah on Har Sinai, because it was a humble mountain. It wasn't a mountain that thought it deserved the Torah to be given on it, like the other mountains. It was humble. That's why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah on Har Sinai. That's the same reason that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, because he was humble. So in order to reach God and love of God through Torah, you also need humility. And the same thing goes, in order to be able to give yourself over to God, right, you have to feel self-negation. You have to feel humble. Because if you feel you're somebody special, you know, that you don't really need God, so then why do you have to give yourself over to Him? But if you feel that you need the Ribbono Shel Olam, can't do it on your own, then you have that humility and that feeling of not being an entity to yourself, then you can give yourself over totally to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So all the ways that we said that a person can reach love of God and through the sacrifices need as a preface humility. So that's why it starts with Vayikra El Moshe. And that's why another thing it says, Vayikra El Moshe, that Moshe waited till God called him. He didn't rush in. And we learn from there that a Talmud Chacham has to have das, he has to have a feeling of humility, and not only humility, he has to have midos tovos. He has to have proper midos that he learns from God. He emulates God, right, with his midos, because if you don't have midos tovos, you could be a big Talmud Chacham, then you think you're a big shot. And you don't wait for anybody to call you. You go in because you think you deserve to go in. And you don't have the common decency of knowing that God is the one who calls the shots, not me. And when he'll call me, I'll go in. And until he calls me, I have no right to be there. And that's why it says, Talmud Chacham she'ein bo das, a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have that understanding of das. Das is taharas, purity, where I feel that I have no personal interests over here. Everything is totally l'shem shamayim. And I also know that I have to emulate God's character traits and act like a mensch. So in that respect, a person is able to totally have humility and give himself over to Hashem. But if he feels that, you know, I can do whatever I want, I don't have to wait for God's cue. I don't have to take a cue from God's midos. I can do it for my own selfish reasons and not have midos tovos, not have deos tovos, then all of this doesn't even start. So therefore, the Vayikra El Moshe, right, both the humility that Moshe had of writing that small aleph, that it's as if he felt that God just chanced upon him, but he didn't really deserve it. And because of that, he deserved it. Because of that, God had tremendous love for him. If he would have thought he deserved it, then God wouldn't have had that tremendous endearment to him. And also, he waited till he was called. He didn't rush in. He understood that God has to call the shots. And if God calls the shots, how he wants me to be close to him, then that's fine. I can't be the one to initiate how I'm going to be close to him and force it on him. That's midos tovos. That's good character. That's not rushing in and doing it because you think you know best. So all of that is a preface to what's it called, to korbanos. And therefore, it says that we start learning with little children from Vayikra, not from Bereishis. And even in some of the Talmud Torahs, they have that minig, at least they learn the first few sentences of Vayikra, and then they go on to Bereishis. But they start with Vayikra. Why? Because the Medrash says, Yavo Tahorim, let pure children come, the Yasok B'divrei Tahara, and let them busy themselves with the words of purity. Now the problem is that Vayikra is predominantly kodshim, sacrifices, which is a different order of the Mishnah. There's two different orders of the Mishnah. There's kodshim, right, which has to do with holiness, holy objects, sacrifices, and taharos, which has to do with purity. Two separate things. One's purity and one is holiness. So Vayikra, I would say, has more to do with holiness than purity, right? The purity laws of Vayikra don't start till the middle of Vayikra. Shmini, Tazriya, Metzorah. But the beginning, Vayikra Tzav, is all karbonos, which is kodshim. So why does it say Yavo Tahorim, let the pure little children come and be osek in the words of purity? These are the words of holiness. The answer is that the beginning of Vayikra, before you get into the holiness part, is Tahara's Midos Tovos, is humility. Tahara means pure intentions, not selfish, self-oriented intentions with a purpose, but totally, that's the word I'm looking for, altruistic. That's purity. Children are like that. Right? Children are pure. They don't have any kunts or no tricks or whatever. They say it as it is. They do it as it is. They're not smart enough yet to mask things and be politically correct or whatever. Right? They say what they have to say. They do what they have to do or whatever. So in that respect, they're pure. Let them come and be osik in the things of purity, which is the foundation of Sefer Vayikra. Understanding that you can't be a balgaiva, a haughty person. You have to have humility, and you have to let God call the shots, and you have to emulate his character traits. All of that is purity. That's purity. And that's why the next preface to the Karbanos is Adam ki akriv mikem. Just like Adam HaRishon didn't bring anything from theft, because everything belonged to him. So he couldn't steal. You can't steal to bring a carbon. If you steal to bring a carbon, the carbon is invalid. Now the question is, why did the Torah tell us in such a roundabout way that you can't bring a stolen carbon? It should, right, just to say, right, don't bring stolen things. It has to be yours. Like it does by a lulav. It says, l'chachtem lachem, bring yours, not stolen. The sukkah sa'asa l'cha, you don't steal your sukkah. Okay? Why does it have to say, Adam? Right? Just like the first man didn't steal anything because everything was his, so too, don't bring sacrifices from stolen things, because Adam didn't bring them from stolen things because he couldn't. Why such a roundabout way? I was thinking, there's two ideas in stealing. One is how it affects other people. You're taking somebody else's things. You're affecting him in a negative way. And the second thing is, not yours. Which is the main thing by the carbon? Is the main thing that you're hurting somebody else, or you're not bringing your thing? By the carbon, forget about hurting somebody, even if it wouldn't hurt anybody. Right? You're not hurting anybody. Adam HaRishon, if it could have been an idea of theft, it wouldn't have affected anybody else. But theft would exist. It's not his. That's not somebody else's. Nobody else to be. But it wouldn't be his. Right? If we considered theft, he couldn't bring it either. So the main thing by a carbon is that you bring of yourself. Right? Because if you bring somebody else or something that's not yours, the whole idea of the carbon isn't there. The carbon is, I'm willing to give of myself to God. Right? But if that concept isn't there, I'm taking somebody else's thing, or something doesn't belong to me. It does not be somebody else's. But it's not me. Then the whole idea of the carbon. How am I getting close? By bringing somebody else's thing? It has to be yours. Otherwise, the whole concept of the carbon is not there. But not because how you're affecting somebody else. Because it's not yours. So the whole idea of the carbon isn't there. That's the idea.
You're also saying, Hashem isn't giving me what I need.
Yeah, it could be. Right. In other words, I have to come on to something that is not mine. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, but even more, it's not even a negative. It's just the positive idea of giving of yourself doesn't apply. What are you giving of yourself? It's not yours. And that's why it says Adam. Adam represents the unity of everything. You want to unify with God, you have to unify yourself. Adam is male and female together. That was the original Adam. So it's the unity of everything in the world together, the male, the female, all the aspects of creation unifying with God, where you feel that you're totally subjugating yourself and negating yourself to God. It has to be that you're giving of yourself. But if you're not giving of yourself, you're giving something that's not yours, then the whole concept doesn't apply. And that's why the Rambam says that by bringing karbanos, you negate idolatry. Idolatry is where everything is not unified, where you see powers in the world that are not connected to God, and you want to serve them. But if you see that everything emanates from God and everything is unified with God, including yourself, then there's no place for idolatry. Idolatry is where there's no unity, where there are separate powers that you have to, please or whatever. But if you think that everything emanates from God and everything is unified with God, then there's no other powers. Then there's nobody to serve except God. You can't serve other powers. There aren't any other powers. Everything's unified within God. And that's how you, therefore, unite everything. Sacrifices unite everything under God, so including yourself. And that's why sacrifices ultimately are something beyond reason. We can say all different ideas behind the sacrifices, but the sacrifices are beyond our comprehension. All the details of them, the Rambam says, they're a chok. Because in order to get close to God, you have to take the cue from God and not think that you can do it on your own. So the sacrifice has to be totally beyond human rationale, because if you want to get close to God, don't think you're doing it because you understand it. This is the way you think it should be done. You have to understand that this is way beyond your comprehension, and this is the way God wants it. And if you want to volunteer and give of yourself to God, then you'll get close. But you have to do it under his terms, with his understanding, not with your understanding. And if we do that, and we use the methods we have, we don't have karbanos, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we have all these other methods to get Avas Hashem that reach their, perhaps, perfection through bringing a sacrifice, but can be done on a lower level through nature, through Torah, through gratitude, and through giving. So if we utilize what we have, then the Rabbanim will give us back the ultimate of each of these things with the building of the third Beis HaMikdash and the coming of Mashiach. Okay. Any questions? Yes. Right. Because the word carbon doesn't mean sacrifice. The word carbon means to come close. So by vicariously taking an animal which I can identify with and giving of myself over to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and also appreciating the nature that the sacrifice and the laws of the Torah that the sacrifice represents, because I transgress those laws and I'm no longer within the confines of the Torah. And gratitude, right? Bringing a korban as a sign of gratitude for all the good things that God gives me, right? All of those things generate a closeness to God, which is love. Love means a bond. Love is where there's an affinity. There's a bond between two things. That's called ahava. Sina is where there's separation. And the word ahava in numerical value in gematria is echad, one. So ahava means a bond, a oneness between two things. So getting closer to God, creating that bond, that's what the sacrifice creates. So again, we have the other means, the sacrifices bring these means to their perfection. But you can, what's it called, contemplate nature and realize the greatness of the Creator from that. You can contemplate the Torah and the greatness of God from the Torah. You can feel gratitude for the good that you get and what's it called, and also you can feel the giving of yourself and feeling that you really need God to give yourself existence, and you have to give yourself over to the Rabbanu Shalom. That's also giving, also generates love.